So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translated and purported by His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astatarasadashi Srimad A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupad. Chapter 9, text number 34. Matmana Bhava Mat Bhakta Mat Yaji Mam Namaskuru Mam Eva Eshasi Yuktva Evam Atmanam Matparayana Manmana Bhava Madhakto Majaji Mang Namaskuru
Majaji Mang Namaskuru
Mam Me Vaishyasi Yuktvaivam
Mam Me Vaishyasi Yuktvaivam
Atmanam Matparayanah
Atmanam Matparayanah
Manmana Bhava Madhakto
Manmana Bhava Madhakto
Majaji Mang Namaskuru
Majaji Mang Namaskuru
Mam Me Vaishyasi Yuktvaivam Atmanam Matparayanah
Atmanam Matparayanah
Manmana Bhava Madhakto
Manmana Bhava Madhakto
Majaji Mang Namaskuru
Majaji Mang Namaskuru
Mam Me Vaishyasi Yuktvaivam
Mam Me Vaishyasi Yuktvaivam
Atmanam Matparayanah
Atmanam Matparayanah
Matmana,
always thinking of me.
Bhava,
become.
Mat,
my.
Bhakta,
devotee.
Mat,
my.
Yaji,
worshipper.
Mam,
unto me.
Namaskuru.
Offer obeisances.
Mam,
unto me.
Eva,
completely.
Eshyasi,
you will come.
Yuktva,
being absorbed.
Evam,
thus.
Atmanam,
your soul.
Matparayanah,
devoted to me.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
Engage your mind always in thinking of me.
Become my devotee.
Offer obeisances to me
and worship me.
Being completely absorbed in me,
surely you will come to me.
Krishna's made it pretty clear. He's talking about himself.
Pretty clear.
Me, 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 me.
In Sanskrit, you go
mut,
mud.
These are all different forms of my.
Mut, mut, mut.
And then the ending, you see.
When mut comes up against an M sound, it's turned into the N. But it's the same word, mut.
Mut is transformed into man when it comes against the M sound of mana.
It becomes mud against the B sound of bhakta. It's the rules of Sanskrit.
It's the same word mut again and again and again. Mut, 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 mut.
Me, 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 me.
Even though the ending changes according to the Sanskrit rules of combining two words against each other.
It's the same word.
Me, 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 me.
Again and again and again.
Purport.
In this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. Unfortunately,
unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. There's one famous commentator, Dr. Radhakrishnan. He explains in his commentary on this verse, it is not to Krishna that you should surrender, but to the unborn, the unmanifest, that is within everything. In other words, impersonal Brahman. So he says, not to Krishna. He says, not to Krishna. Even though Krishna is saying, me, 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 to Krishna, to Krishna, to Krishna, to Krishna, to Krishna, this person says, not to Krishna, not to Krishna, not to Krishna. So this is called an unscrupulous commentator. He has no scruples, no honesty. He has no principles. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a damn what Krishna is saying. He just wants to put forward his own bogus agenda without any respect for what the actual speaker is saying, you see. This is called unscrupulous commentator, as Prabhupada explained. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kurma Purana, as it is quoted by Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami in his Anubhasha comments on Chaitanya Charitamrita, 5th chapter, Adi Leela, verses 41-48. Deha dehi vibhedo yam neshvare vidyate kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators did not know this science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. There are some who are demonic. They also think of Krishna, but enviously, just like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that his body is not material, but is eternal, blissful knowledge. This kind of talk of Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise from the wrong source will prove fruitless. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the prime form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme. He should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, one has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to the Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. The 7th and 8th chapters of Bhagavad Gita have explained pure devotional service to the Lord that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahma Jyoti and localized Paramatma. But a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. There is a beautiful poem about Krishna in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is most unintelligent and cannot achieve at any time the supreme reward of Krishna. The devotee, in the beginning, may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental, non-devotional activities will diminish, and he will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down because the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should directly take to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme reward of Krishna. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta reports to the 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the most confidential knowledge. It's amazing if we really take our time and just read what Prabhupada is saying, not just kind of gliding through it thinking, well, I've read this before. If we'll just try to go deeply into it, deeper than we've ever gone before, it's amazing what you can find in these purports. It's really amazing, really amazing. Absolutely amazing. Do you ever think that Krishna was an award? It's like, you know, you can win some award, you know, like a swimming competition, they give you an award, you know, some contest, you win an award, you know, in a contest. Did you ever think that Krishna was an award? The Prophet is saying it right here. By practicing Krishna consciousness, you receive the supreme award, Krishna. It's a prize, or he's a prize. It's amazing. Prabhupada explains this philosophy from so many different angles of vision, and each one of them is just absolutely amazing. Krishna is an award. He's a prize. You win the prize. You win Krishna. Like you go to the fair, you know, you throw the darts and you can hit the bullseye. You win a little dolly to take home, you know, a doll to take home, a little child happy, they get a little teddy bear to take home. It's their award for hitting the target, you know. Just imagine if you can take home Krishna. Supreme award of Krishna. Well, this is what one qualifies to do by practicing Krishna consciousness. You actually get Krishna as your personal property. Prabhupada explains like that. That when you become the property of Krishna, then Krishna becomes your property. In this material world, everyone is trying to put forward themselves as the proprietor. And what does proprietorship include? Proprietorship means enjoyment also. Whatever I own, that is for my enjoyment. You see, the concept of ownership and proprietorship go hand in hand. If I own something, it's for my enjoyment and nobody else's. That's the material mentality. You see, it's my property. That means it's for my enjoyment and not yours. So in this material world, everyone tries to put forward being the proprietor of as much of the property of God that they can possibly claim and lord it over for the sake of enjoying it. But how much can they actually claim? Even the wealthiest man on this planet, Bill Gates, what percentage of the world's wealth does he actually own? Minuscule percentage. Very tiny. Infinitesimal, tiny little fraction. Even the wealthiest person. So he can't really claim very much enjoyment of this material world. his proprietorship, even the greatest materialist, Bill Gates, he doesn't have much percentage of the proprietorship or the enjoyment. But if you actually win Krishna, if you actually get the award of Krishna, who owns and controls everything, if he is your personal property, then there is nothing that is not enjoyable by the devotee. You understand? There is nothing that is not enjoyable by the devotee, because his enjoyment is to engage things in the service of Krishna. He doesn't desire or need any personal enjoyment. His enjoyment is to engage everything in Krishna's service. And the devotee, he can engage the entire world in Krishna's service. He sees every person as a candidate for receiving one of Prabhupada's books. It doesn't matter if it's a president or a bum on the street. You see, he can engage everyone in the world in Krishna's service. Every house, every building, every university, every school, every boat, every airplane, every train, every car, every bus, every bicycle, everything is for Krishna's enjoyment and service. So the devotee, he can, therefore his enjoyment is unlimited. His enjoyment is on the same level with Krishna, Prabhupada explains. Actually, it's even explained that the devotee enjoys more than Krishna. That's why we explained previously, Krishna is seeing Radharani. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and he is seeing how Radharani is actually enjoying more being his servant than he is being served by her. So he's thinking, what is this? I'm the supreme enjoyer, but somebody is enjoying more than me. I don't want to miss out on this. So he becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna decides to become a Hare Krishna. He sees the Hare Krishnas are getting more enjoyment than me, so I think I will become a Hare Krishna. He becomes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He joins the Hare Krishna movement. He shaves up and joins the Hare Krishnas, Hare Krishna. So, of course, he was a householder also with hair, but then for the sake of preaching, he took up sannyas. So he would not have any fetters on his preaching. For the sake of preaching. He had a very nice wife, but he gave that up for the sake of spreading Krishna consciousness all over the world. Actually, he spread it only within India, overtly. Of course, covertly, he delivered the entire universe. But that the full-blown manifestation of that is now being carried out by his followers. But Lord Chaitanya has actually already delivered the whole universe, just as Krishna had already killed all the enemy soldiers on the battlefield, and Arjuna was engaged as an instrument to get the credit for what Krishna had already done. So Lord Chaitanya also, he's already delivered the entire universe, but he's engaging us and giving us credit, even though all the credit really goes to him. But he's giving us the credit, engaging us in this glorious activity of the Sankirtan revolution, the Krishnaization of planet Earth. So there's so many wonderful points in this purport. Another point is that, as Prabhupada explains, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. What is so revolutionary or exciting about this concept? This is indeed revolutionary and indeed extremely exciting point, because this material world is miserable. It's miserable. But if one is Krishna conscious, they can happily live here. They can be ecstatic every day. They can be ecstatic at every moment. by taking seriously the pathway of Krishna bhakti. Of course, if you want to mix your bhakti with sense enjoyment, you won't get that enjoyment, that spiritual enjoyment. That bhakti, in order to actually be fully relishable, has to become pure. We cannot mix it with karma, karma mishra bhakti, or with jnana, jnana mishra bhakti. We have to make that bhakti pure without any tinge of material desire. That every thought, every word, and every deed that I think, speak, or perform in all times, in all places, in all circumstances is completely pleasing to Guru, to Acharyas, to Prabhupada, to the Vaishnavas, and to Krishna. We have to be very sincere. Just imagine if there was some special webcam that could see all your thoughts, and it was broadcast at all of ISKCON at every minute. It's on a big screen. All the devotees of ISKCON could see the thoughts that were going through your head. The GBCs could see it. The sannyasis, the gurus, temple presidents, all the general devotees. Everyone could see all the thoughts in your mind at every minute. Would you be ashamed to come out of your ashram? You'd hide inside your bed. You see? Or you could actually face, honestly, you know, openly face all the devotees. And with, you know, your integrity would be solid. So that's that. We have to learn how to give up those nasty, sinful thoughts that we keep hanging on to. You can only make a show for so long of being a devotee. If you're not actually doing it on the inside, sooner or later Maya will drag you away from this society and you'll become a truck driver or something like that. So, if you seriously cultivate this Krishna bhakti, that every thought must become very pure, that is Krishna's instruction. Manmana, always thinking of me. In Sanskrit, everything is very much shortcut. It's a very compact language. Literally, it's just saying, mind me. Just the word me and mind. Mind me. Me. What is it? Madmana, thinking. So it's very compact language. It says, mind me, worshipping. Well, become, yes, bhava has become my devotee. Mind, see, mind, become my devotee. Me worship, me offer obeisances. It's a very compact language. Krishna just really packs it in. He's, the first thing is that engage your mind always in thinking of me. That is an art, and that thinking, as pointed out here by Srila Prabhupada, should not be like that uncle, Kamsa. His thinking was pratikul. It wasn't pretty cool, it was pratikul. It was very bad. Pratikul thinking. He was thinking, when will I kill this Krishna? That Krishna, I must kill him. He was absolutely paranoid. He was always afraid that Krishna at every second was coming to kill him. He was so Krishna conscious. But in a very, very bad way, he was Krishna conscious. So we have to become anukul. Anu means following. So we have to become always in the mood of serving Krishna, loving Krishna. So this is how we have to learn. There is a present Krishna. I am his servant. I must learn how to love him and do everything for his pleasure. This is called Krishna consciousness. Shishi Gornitai Kija. So, sometimes they ask, devotees ask me, well, you know, how we can do that? How do we actually make that deep relationship with Krishna? So, we have Krishna's representatives also. We have our good acharyas, we have Srila Prabhupada, we have spiritual masters, we have sannyasis, we have temple presidents, we have each other. You see? We have to learn how to love the devotees, how to love our guru, how to love Srila Prabhupada, how to love the leaders of our society in this way, by developing feelings of love and serving with love the devotees. Then that love for Krishna would automatically be there, because Krishna is still far, far away for us right now. He's still far away. We're covered. Our eyes are blinded by lust, by anger, by greed, kama asha, krodha asha, you see. Right now we're not able to see Krishna. Even though he's present, Krishna is within everything and everything is within Krishna. Krishna is everywhere, he's omnipresent. But still we are not seeing Krishna because we are covered by lust, anger, and greed. But we can see Krishna's devotees. We can see our spiritual master. We can see, even though Prabhupada is physically gone, we can still see so many wonderful videos, we can hear his lectures, we can hear from devotees who are with Prabhupada, etc., etc. So we can still get a very strong feeling of his physical presence. And that helps us. So we should take advantage of whatever way we can develop loving feelings for those things in relationship with Krishna. Because Krishna doesn't mean Krishna alone, it means Krishna along with his devotees. So by developing love for Krishna's devotees, then that will naturally transfer into love for Krishna. As Prabhupada always used to say, the English proverb, referring to the spiritual master, he said, if you love me, love my dog. So he says, the spiritual master, he is the dog of God. So if you love the dog, then the master will accept. To attract the master is not an easy thing. He's a very big man. Just like imagine here in the park in Helsinki, Mr. Bill Gates comes to visit your city. You're thinking, well, why don't we make friends with him? We can get a nice donation to, you know, buy a temple. That'd be a nice, certainly a transcendental goal. You know, get $5 million or something, donation. So then you make friends with him. You're out on book distribution, you notice that Bill Gates is in the park. Wow, maybe I can go up and, you know, I've had a good day on Sankirtan, I feel fairly potent. Let me go up and talk to Bill Gates. You see? But he's surrounded, there's bodyguards, and, you know, he's always afraid of being kidnapped. He's got bodyguards all around him, and he's not really approachable, but he's walking his dog and he's actually letting his dog run free. Throws a frisbee or something, and the dog runs after it. And he comes back, the dog is running loose and he's not surrounded by any bodyguards. And it just so happened the frisbee happened to land at your feet. And the dog runs up and he looks up at you and he likes you. And you pat him on the head, thinking, well, this is Bill Gates' dog, let me give it a try, you know. Nice doggy, nice doggy. And the doggy likes you and he's wagging his tail and thinking, oh, he really likes you. And now Bill Gates comes up and his dog likes you. So he has to like you also. He has to also like you. You say, you know, we have a wonderful buffet. We have a nice vegetarian lunch. It's very healthy, very delicious. Why don't you come over? It's just 3 blocks away. He says, all right. He said, we'll even feed all your bodyguards. Just bring the whole crew. We'll feed the dog also. And so Bill Gates comes. He sees the temple and he goes, this is wonderful what you're doing here. Let me give you $5 million so you can, instead of renting, you can own your own building. So the point is that by making a loving relationship with the dog, then you are able to contact the master. So the guru, he is dog of God. So through our spiritual master, actually, by developing that wonderful loving relationship with our Guru Maharaj, our Guru Deva, then Krishna takes notice. He takes notice. Oh, this person is loving my dog. So yes, I will give him special mercy. He's very much faithful servant of my devotee, so I will give him all mercy. So this is the insider secret of how to actually come to the platform of Krishna Bhakti through the medium of Guru. And not only Guru, Vaishnavas also. Because they are also Krishna's representative. Prabhupada always wanted to see how much we worked lovingly with each other. He said, your love for me will be seen by how much you cooperate together. So it doesn't mean we just love our spiritual master. No. It means we love all the devotees. You see, because they are all representatives of Krishna. We have to learn how to love all of the devotees, serve them with love in the heart. We have our six loving exchanges given by Rupa Goswami to give gifts to the devotees, to accept gifts from the devotees, to distribute prasad to the devotees, to accept prasadam from the hands of the devotees, to reveal your mind to the devotees. And then when the devotee wants to reveal his mind to you, to hear very nicely what he has to say. So in this way, by loving exchange, the feelings of love develop amongst the devotees. And our love for Krishna, to the extent that we love the devotees and we love our spiritual master, to that extent the love for Krishna becomes more and more and more manifest. Just like the sun rising on the eastern horizon in the morning, it comes gradually, 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 slowly, slowly. You cannot see it moving even. Of course, if you took one camera and filmed it and then sped it up, you would see that it's moving. But just with your eye, you cannot even see that it is moving. It is so subtle and slow, it's coming. But you know it's happening because it was dark and now it's light. So our Krishna consciousness, it is like that. It's a gradual process. It's practically imperceptible how we are advancing in Krishna consciousness. But if you just think back where you were at 5 years ago and where you are now, you'll see a big difference in your consciousness. Isn't it? Huge difference. So we have to be patient. This process does work. It takes time. We have to be steady in our endeavor. We don't want to reverse the process by, you know, deviating from the principles. We want to stick chanting our 16 rounds every day at least, following the four rules, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and being a wonderful cooperative member of the family of the Vaishnavas. These things will make us very, very, very strong, very, very happy. We will, in fact, if we do these things conscientiously, if we do them seriously, if we do them steadily on a regular daily basis, we will, in fact, live very, very, very happily in this world. That's a fact. Would you like to be happy, or you prefer misery, you see? You would much rather be happy, but isn't it? Yes. So this is how we do that. We follow this system of Krishna Bhakti and the family of the Vaishnavas. And in this way, we're protected. And this will, in fact, if we stick to it very rigidly and very seriously, following all the rules and regulations, then this will, in fact, be our last lifetime in this rotten hell. Thinking. Actually, to me, Helsinki is not home. When I come here, to me, Helsinki is home. Today, when I came, I said, back to home, back to Helsinki. Because I find you to be the most wonderful devotees anywhere. I go anywhere in the world. This is the most wonderful Sangha. always feel there's very something very, very special about Helsinki. So we're very, Mataji and I are both very, very happy to be here with all of you, wonderful, brilliant suns in the lands of the Finns. We're illuminating this dark place by your effulgent Krishna consciousness. So we're just praying that we can be, might, if possible, you'll allow us to serve you in some way while we're here, even though we're not qualified to be even in your presence. We just beg that you will allow us to serve you in any way we can to help you in your Krishna consciousness. So, that being said, we can have some questions. Let me get this hearing aids in. And we can see if there's any questions that you might have. Okay, here's the first one, Gopinath.
Prabhu, thank you for the lecture. Speaking about big donations, we know this story about Shyama Sundara asking George Harrison a big donation for Prabhupada printing this book. Is there other such stories or techniques?
Oh, big donations? Well, it depends on the individual. If you want to be an expert at the art of getting big donations, then you first of all make yourself a big donation to Krishna. In other words, you fully donate yourself to Krishna. Because you can't really ask someone else to do something that you haven't done. You have to be totally sold out to Krishna, and then he'll empower you. In fact, Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that for one who is purely chanting Krishna's name without any offense, that person becomes so, if they become totally, absolutely pure, then they become Jagad Guru, the spiritual master of the universe. It's amazing. The Prabhupada says this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. They become the spiritual master of the universe, and under their influence, the whole world takes up Krishna consciousness. So that's somebody who can get a really big donation. The point that Prabhupada is making is that you have the potency to engage others according to your own degree of purity. So it's not so much the technique as it is the purity. Techniques are also there, but they are not nearly as important as the purity. Prabhupada emphasize the purity. Purity is the force. Of course, there are different techniques. Like Prabhupada, when he got that building in Detroit, he got it at a very, very cheap price. First, he asked for a donation. The real estate agent likely fell out of their chair because he was dreaming of a big commission. And then Prabhupada said, we are mendicant, we ask you to donate this. That's one way. You ask for a donation. If you want a donation, you ask for it. Don't be afraid to ask for a donation. If you want technique, that is the first technique. You have to ask. You can't just go and hope that they'll volunteer. You have to be aggressive and say, my dear sir, I would like you to donate $10 million for our project. Can you do that? You have to do it with complete conviction. The first, you have to be confident that it's a wonderful thing that you should do this. That's one technique. Of course, actually, George, you probably know the story, he was little, everyone was asking George for money, so when he was asked to donate for the Krishna book, his first reaction was very sour. You know the story, yeah. Oh, not another one of these groups after my money. Oh, I thought the Hare Krishna were nice, but now I see just another one of these groups after the money. He was about ready to say it. I mean, he was, and then the lights went out, and the lightning hit that very building, and Prabhupada told him, he said, Krishna, he was wondering how I can ask. The Prabhupada said, don't worry, Krishna will help you. So he actually, Shyamasundara didn't want to personally say, he wanted to say that Prabhupada said, he didn't want to spoil his relationship with George. So he said, well, Prabhupada asked me to ask you. He didn't want to be the one who actually was asking George. So Krishna can also help. And he certainly did in that case. And then George, after it was over, George was just smiling and saying, what can I say? The big grin. He realized there was some higher powers out there telling him, you must do this. You better do this. So, if you're very pure, Krishna was within the heart of everyone and you can influence that person. So, any other questions?
You, we do all this here in Lamb and you come here to visit us. But how can we stay in Lamb when there are no advanced devotees present to enliven us, give us?
How you can always stay enlivened?
Yes, when without association of advanced devotees.
Ah, it's very simple, Prabhu. You have to become an advanced devotee. That's the simple thing. You must become advanced. And then everyone will be enlivened by your association. And since you stay here practically all the time, except maybe going to some festival, since you're a resident here, then so everyone should think, let me become very advanced and do my share to keep everyone enlivened. Everyone should feel, the more that I can become advanced, it will enliven the other devotees. So let me become very advanced for not only my sake, for the sake of others. So how do you become advanced? You have to desire pure devotional service. We just did a program yesterday in Aachen. I'm not a German speaker. All I can do is speak some Texas American English. But very nice householder, very nice. He runs a Nama Hut program out of his apartment. It has a nice group of devotees there. Every week they get together, like a whole apartment full of people. And we did Harinam yesterday. But the last thing he asked me, he says, how can I serve you? I had mentioned how doing service to devotees, we develop taste. So he's all right, I'm going to ask Sankarshan Prabhu how I can serve him. He was thinking like that. So I said, you just become a pure devotee. That's the best service. So that's the key. You have to focus on pure devotional service. While you're doing your activities, book distribution, preaching, whatever you're doing, whatever department you're in, each and every one of you, whether you're doing Tulsi worship, Pujari work, cooking, cleaning, preaching, you know, Prasad, it doesn't matter what the service is, it's all on the absolute platform. Every service in the Sankirtan movement is glorious. Some services are very much glorified, like book distribution, but every service is very, very, very important service. And whatever service that Krishna has arranged for us, if we strive to do that with purity, pure thoughts, pure speech, and pure activities in all times, all places, and all circumstances, the result will be that we become exceedingly enlivened. And that enlivenment is contagious. Just like Avadhuta Chandra's kirtan tonight. He was so enlivened, he was practically jumping out of his skin. And everybody was in ecstasy. So, in this way, if you strive for pure devotional service, because at the end, there's really nothing else. whether you go back to Godhead or not depends on whether you have that mood of pure devotional service. It all boils down. It doesn't matter how many books you did, how many big donations you got, you know, how many pots you washed. I mean, those things add up. It helps you achieve pure devotional service. But the real bottom line is, did you achieve pure devotional service or not? Were you free of all material desires? That's the real bottom line. Was your heart clean when you left your body? Or did you still hanker for something material? So you, Krishna would have to take you, give you another birth to take, you know, to get that desire fulfilled. You see? We have to make our heart completely pure. Completely, totally pure. We have to beg Krishna for pure devotional service. And how do we beg Krishna? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And so many other wonderful prayers are there in our books. We can study the mood of the Acharya. So many beautiful, beautiful prayers and verses. We should learn this philosophy like a lawyer, knowing the law books. So we can defeat our own mind, no matter what kind of nonsense it may throw in our face. We can defeat our minds, and we can defeat the argument of the materialists also and make them devotees. You should have a million and one ways to defeat Maya. When you're attacked by Maya, you should have a million and one different ways. Just like a warrior, or just like a book distributor, you have one line for this kind of person, another line for that kind of person, isn't it? You have a million, and then Krishna gives you new lines too, according to new situations. I remember I read one report, a book distributor, some Satanist. He was in contact with one Satanist, and he said, "Well, you should know your enemy. Krishna is your enemy, so if you want to defeat your enemy, you should know your enemy." He said, "Yes, that's right," and he bought the Bhagavad Gita. So just like a book distributor, he has a million and one ways to distribute a book. So also we should have a million and one different ways to defeat Maya when she attacks our mind. You see, she become very, very expert. This kind of Maya, that kind of Maya. Yeah, I have this way to defeat. Prabhupada told Vishnu Jan Maharaj. Vishnu Jan had the great opportunity to be with Prabhupada in his room in LA many years ago. And Prabhupada said, "You see, I have my harmonium." He said, "No gaps for Maya. I have no time. I'm free. I sit and sing some bhajan." So you have to have a way to keep your always yourself engaged in Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day, in all times, in all places, in all circumstances. Always connected with Krishna. Constantly. Learn the art. Practice that. Develop it. That's the real thing. Manmanama manmakto. Engage your mind always in thinking. Become very, very expert at keeping your mind always engaged in Krishna, and then you'll be always very enlivened, and everybody will be inspired by your association. The devotees now, the advanced devotees that you feel inspired by, they've struggled year after year after year to develop their Krishna consciousness. It didn't come easily for them either. They struggled, they worked hard, day after day, minute by minute, to bring that rascal mind back to Krishna every time it went away. So all you have to do, Mahajana Yena Gata Sapanta, you have to see the great devotees of ISKCON and understand how they became great. And you just do the same thing yourself, follow their footsteps. Keep bringing it, no matter how far your mind goes away, keep bringing it back, and finally the mind will get the idea that I'm supposed to be Krishna conscious. Questions, more? Yes.
Prabhu, I'm developing some small desire to try to chant the Hare Krishna mantra properly, but...
Small desire to do what?
to try to chant.
To try to chant. That's very good.
And I can see that it's most of the time still I'm spacing out. And
yes.
I'm trying, but I can see that maybe my brain is damaged, like from my car.
Yes.
So will you please sometime like give me a better fix my brain a little, or do I have to wait another day?
Do you drink hot milk every night? You must drink hot milk every night. Do they have hot milk every night here?
Yeah.
That will help your brain to become strong. You must drink hot milk every night, except during the milk fast. But 11 months out of the year, you must drink hot milk every evening. And that's very good for developing the brain tissue. So you do that, it will help your brain. Prabhupada introduced that program. We got that from Prabhupada. Hot milk at night in Krishna book used to be the program. So that hot milk at night is very good for developing brain. Prabhupada would take regularly. So we learned that from Prabhupada. Take the hot milk every evening. Questions more? Yes.
Prabhu, Krishna is a person and he is very merciful to his devotees. But because he is a person, so does he differentiate that I give more mercy to him than to some other?
Krishna is a person, and what were you saying?
And he's very merciful to his devotees.
Yes.
So does he give all the devotees the same mercy?
Krishna's mercy is equally there for everyone. Just like when the rain falls, it falls everywhere.